Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
And 22% of couples have said that politics has impacted their relationship. That number actually, if you narrow it down to just millennials, that number goes up to 35%. So 1 in 3, which is kind of amazing.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is the Trump effect. Crazy but true reasons that people have filed for divorce. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So I love this topic that Rebecca came up with because I think, Rebecca, you said it was an article that you read recently that brought this to mind.
Yeah, I read an article that gave all these statistics, which we're going to mention, we're going to talk about, that the divorce rate is way up between people because of Trump, because they have... Because one loves him and the other one doesn't, and they just can't stand to live with the other person because of that. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I think, let's see, something like, there was a woman, a 73-year-old woman who divorced her husband of 22 years because he voted for Trump. She called it a deal breaker and said she felt betrayed. And then there was a poll of 6,000 people that said that 16% of those respondents stopped talking to a friend or family member as a direct result of the election. 1 in 10 have ended relationships over political differences.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting because I think it's, you know, it strikes me, it comes from either side, right? You could be a supporter of, you know, I'll use Trump as the example. You could be pro-Trump and find your partner's anti-Trump sentiments unpalatable, or opposite. It's really, it's just, I think, a symptom of this very polarizing thought process that seems to be going on maybe a little bit in our country right now, where there's not a lot of middle ground, and it's permeating out into even, you know, relationships. I know that people in my own family, we have differences of opinion on this particular matter. I'm not going to go into who that is or what those differences are, but we've had some...
You're not going to tell us what your positions are?
I think I'll keep my positions to myself for purposes of the podcast, but if you know me, you know what they are. And so does my family member who does not agree with me. And we've had to agree to disagree, and we're in that position. Hey, this is a family member. We are related to each other. We're going to have to find a way to, you know, find some middle ground. And I have to say, you know, I have changed my thinking in a lot of ways on this topic, in that I do think, as upset as I can be on one side or the other of any topic, it's not very helpful to be so polarized, because it makes me stop listening to what, you know, the other side might have to say. And I would much rather see conversations going on that are in the middle ground, or at least where we can hear each other. You know, where we can hear, I may not agree and you may not change my mind, but to be so polarized, you know, in a situation where after 22 years, you're going to divorce your husband because, you know,
because he voted for Trump,
then, you know, that's a symptom of, I think, you know, where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, and there's lots of reasons why people get divorced. Politics is one, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but there are a whole bunch of others that we're going to talk about. But just to give you a couple more statistics about, you know, they say never talk religion or politics, right? But I guess I don't mean your spouse. Let's see, 17% of people have said they've blocked friends or family on social media for political
reasons. I'm going to raise my hand on that one.
I've actually, you know, gone to like acquaintance on some people for Facebook because of so much political stuff. Even if I agree with it, sometimes I just don't want to see it all the time, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and 22% of couples have said that politics has impacted their relationship. That number actually, if you narrow it down to just millennials, that number goes up to 35%. So 1 in 3, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, but that's significant. That's a large preponderance of people.
It is. It is. And you know, there are couples that have seemed to work it out over the years. You know, I remember Mary Madeline and James Carville. I don't know if I'm totally dating myself by saying that, but you know, they seem to work it out.
Yeah.
Arnold and Maria, well, they didn't work it out for that.
They didn't end up breaking up because of that.
Yeah, no, refer back to our Adultery Can Bite You in the Ass episode. On that one. But they did, I mean, that really, talk about taking, you know, two polar opposites, but not necessarily, polarizing mindsets, but they did definitely manage to, for a very long period of time, make that work. She was the first lady of California when Arnold was the governor, and he was a Republican governor. She comes from the, you know, royalty family of the Democratic side. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. It can be done. But that's, you know, that's a symptom of maybe, again, where we're at in this, you know, in the political dialogue that we find ourselves in today, that there's not a lot of middle ground, even in a marriage. So I suspect even for the 73-year-old woman who was married for 22 years, there might have been some other issues besides the fact that he voted for Trump that led to that breakdown. But hey, you never know. It was significant enough that she cited that as a reason.
She said she felt betrayed. I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I think that politics can be an issue. I think it comes down to, obviously, you know, communication and all of that. But religion is another biggie.
That's huge.
And I've seen that, you know, in divorce cases where there's a fight over, you know, I want to take the kids to Hebrew school, or I want to take the kids to CCD, or whatever it is, you know, I mean, and sometimes that's really difficult to get over.
Well, and the thing I've seen, and maybe you've seen this, Rebecca, is when religion rears its head up in the divorce situation, when it's an issue, I have often found that the couple, although knowing they were both raised in different religions, they never talked about what they would do if they had children, how they would raise their children. Because it's usually an issue that I often find comes up around the children and differing desires about how the children will be raised. And they never talked about it. And, you know, so if you have people of two separate religions, they get married, they probably know that having children is a possibility, but never discussed how, you know, how they intended it. Or certainly you can have that situation where they may have discussed it, but when it actually comes about, they find that their feelings or their positions have changed.
You know, the other thing is that people could change. You know, maybe you got married and you're both agnostics, or you're both atheists, or you're both super religious, or whatever. And the other one changes. You know, maybe you were both agnostic or both not really all that religious, and one has, you know, this moment and becomes a Christian and gets baptized and is really you know, feels to the other person like the other one's like a zealot now or something. And, you know, it's hard to take, especially if the person is trying to convert you or, you know, says things that you don't agree with.
Yeah, I actually had a case with an older couple where the wife later in life started to become very religious, and actually during the court proceedings would show up for every court hearing with two nuns in full habit. It just, there was something wow. about the sight of her showing up with the nun posse, as we called
it. A lot of the nuns don't even wear full habits anymore.
Exactly. So I wasn't sure if it was just full-on court regalia or if this was you know, how they normally dress. But anyway, every time they came to court with her, they were in full-on nun gear. And
nun gear. Nun gear. So religious.
It was, I will tell you, it was sort of startling the first time they stepped off the elevator and there she was, flanked by two women in wimples. But that was...
It's the habit. It's called a habit.
Well, I think the headgear is called a wimple. So, that, you know, where well, I know I, that from, I don't know.
I went to Catholic school.
Oh, there you go. I did.
High
not.
School.
But...
We always wondered what was going on in under those the headpiece.
Well, in my family, it's we're all Scottish, so there's always the thing about what's going on under the kilt. But it's,
oh, yeah, and you don't want to know that.
Yeah, no. but that was a case where it was the wife's later in life, you know, conversion or adopt, you know, she just went deeper into her religious beliefs and it became a much larger part of her life. And for my client, that wasn't where he wanted to go. So it was a very significant factor in why they divorced, that didn't exist the 30 plus years prior when they first got married. So as you point out, to your point, Rebecca, that, you know, it can be that people change. That's why we have irreconcilable differences, right? Or in the legal world. Sometimes people do change and there are just things that are not going to work for both of them anymore.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's other reasons why people get divorced that are crazy. And I was just going to mention, there was a term that I saw recently that I thought was really good. It was heavy metal, but it was M-E-D-D-L-E.
I know what we're about to talk about, so that's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. So reference our show, X's and Steps.
Yes. Yeah, you know, well, and family members, right? You know, those meddling to what you just said, the meddling in-laws or the meddling families, that is a thing that as a divorce attorney, I have seen repeatedly.
Yeah.
The family is just so involved in your marriage that it feels like there are more than two of you in that relationship.
I had the case from hell, that my client was the case from hell. My client was wonderful, but the case itself was from hell. And his mother was so involved in this couple's marriage that the custody evaluator actually referred to her as the godfather of the family and said that my client had, you know, crossed the line by not wanting her involved in the family. And so she was on this tirade to get back at him for that. And so the court actually ordered the parties, because they couldn't order the mother since she wasn't a party to the case, but they ordered the parties to not allow any contact with the mother for at least a year.
Oh, that's a significant, for a judge to order that is significant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about your monster-in-law.
Yeah. Well, and even if, you know, maybe you've seen this as well, even families that, this may not be the cause of the breakdown of the marriage, but it's usually, it comes about, is when you are going through the marriage, even in-laws who you at least had a detente with or you got along with okay during the marriage can become the monster in-laws when you're getting divorced. Because I've always found that blood is thicker than water when it comes to divorce. Everyone's like, oh, you know, everything I've done for my in-laws and now they turn on me. expect that. That's
except for this one case I was just talking about. She aligned with the daughter-in-law.
Well, because that's
true. The daughter-in-law, you know, knew that this was the one that had the money, and so she went with the one that had the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we ended up winning everything. It only took like 3.5 years and a few hundred thousand dollars, but
and the Rebecca Zung effect. Let's just not, you know, put that aside.
Yeah. That's for sure. It was a lot of work, a 6-day trial, but in the end, it worked out the way it needed to.
Well, and you know, that's another reason for mediation, folks. You just heard that $200,000 price tag on that. So
yeah, that was just our side.
We're going to take a quick break right now to tell you about our newest sponsor, the co-parenting app Fair. If that sounds familiar, we interviewed Michael Daniels, the creator of Fair, on episode 123, The Insider Secret to Seamless Co-Parenting. And Rebecca and I are very strong supporters of Fair because we think it supplies you with the best tools to improve communication with your co-parent. They have a time-sharing calendar, documentable text messaging, and an expense tracker to keep track of those shared expenses.
There's a DPS check-in that's court verifiable, a monthly parenting report to download with all your details, private journal to take notes, a file vault to keep your records, photos, and documents, and it's all downloadable in a convenient time and date stamp PDF when you need documentation for legal matters. And there's even a Spanish version as well. Fair allows you to experience co-parenting a totally new way. Simply, inexpensively, transparently, and fairly. Lose the he said, she said, and be the best parent you can be. Be fair. Subscribe at BeFair, BeFayr.com, and then download FAYR from the App Store or Google Play. Just go to fair.com for more details.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on The Trump Effect, crazy but true reasons people have filed for divorce.
I was just going to say that I always tell my husband I love him unconditionally. I'm not staying unconditionally.
Yeah. Perfect. Actually, print that, put it on the wall.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including secrets from a real housewife's divorce attorney, talking about high net worth and celebrity divorces with high-profile divorce attorney Randy Kessler.
I mean, the public wants to know about celebrity divorce, not, I don't think so much because they're curious and it's just a morbid curiosity, but it's because everyone in the public knows someone who got divorced if it wasn't them. And so I went through it. I want to know what it's like when they go through it. Or I feel better that even Angelina Jolie has to face a judge. Makes me feel better.
And now we return to today's show.
So, I, you know, other reasons that I've seen, well, we referenced one of them in one of our old shows where bet you didn't know getting fat can cause your divorce. And, you know, unfortunately, I have seen many issues around appearance, at least, you know, one of the parties has said that's what caused it. I noted that one of the things that was brought up was that someone said, oh my God, I saw her without makeup. You know what it brings to mind? Do you watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? And in
no.
The first season, oh God, great show. Got to watch it. And
okay.
In the first season, it's she goes to bed every night with, you know, after her husband falls asleep and puts on the cold cream and the thing over her hair. But then she sets the alarm extra early and every morning gets up and puts on her face and then gets back into bed and pretends that's how I woke up. And so,
oh my gosh,
it's like her husband thinks she woke up with, like, you know, blue eyeshadow and pink lipstick. And
yes, of course, you can't make this stuff up.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I know that's a marriage that I think is set, that show set back in the 50s, but it just makes me think of that. But I have had many cases where the issue of the other party's appearance has been brought into the the discussion. And we talk about that in that prior episode, the Bet You Didn't Know Getting Fat. And it could be just letting yourself go, or the perception that one might have that the other...
That brings to mind, I remember when the Wonder Bra was really popular. You remember that?
with the push-up bra, yeah.
Yes, and I remember a comedian said, it's called the Wonder Bra because when you take it off, the guy wonders what happened to them.
Well, maybe there's a little moral to the story in all of that is, if before you marry someone, it might be a good idea that you both know the real person that you're marrying, right? You know, don't...
Yeah. God bless my husband who knows me with, you know, the full-on no makeup look.
Yeah. I always say you shouldn't marry anyone that you haven't seen when they have the flu. You know, full on, you know, runny nose, red eyes, and bed hair, right?
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, my husband and I took a cruise for our honeymoon, and one of the ports of call, we had to get on this tender, you know, those little like boats that go back and forth between the ship and land. And when we were getting back on this tender from land, there was a huge storm. So, you know, the waves were like 6 feet up and whatever. So I got massively seasick, along with probably 99% of the crew, except for my husband. Of course, he didn't get it.
Just fine. But yeah.
Honeymoon. There I am, barfing into the bag.
Oh, at least you made it to the bag. The one time it happened to me on a ship, I just was like over the side of the boat.
So I'm like, well, you're in it now. You already married me.
Welcome to marriage.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the other things that you might discuss with each other ahead of time are the old secrets, or, you know, the things that can crop up down the road. Because I've seen that in cases where something that has happened long before the people got married, you know, long before they even met each other, somebody had, you know, a gay encounter or, you know, a relationship, or, you know, gosh, there's so many different things. You know, just
maybe they were like a call girl or something in another life, or they had some crazy career, you know, a phone sex operator.
Yeah, well, they worked their way through college, right? So you never know, but those are the sort of, you know, conversations that I have seen things come up down the road. It's interesting, we just talked to a client recently who, when he was discussing with us, Rebecca, he said some things about his wife's, you know, childhood, and he's like, and I never knew those things. And I was thinking, this was not a person who had been married just a short period of time. They'd been married for a considerable period of time. And I was thinking, you know, how interesting is that? And maybe that's something to think about, that if you don't know things about your spouse's childhood, significant things, maybe those are discussions to be had prior to the honeymoon.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it's painful for people and they don't want it. Like, they haven't comes to terms themselves with, you know, maybe they were sexually molested or something like that. And they have a lot of shame around it. They think that there's something wrong with them, that they did something wrong. You know, there's been a lot of that lately with the Michael Jackson documentary that just was out, Leaving Neverland.
Neverland, yes.
And they had the wives of the two men on the documentary, and they, you know, were interviewing them about the impact that it's had on these men. And, you know, I think they just simply were too ashamed, too afraid. I mean, you know, to even bring it up. And it was only when it started manifesting the symptoms started manifesting themselves that they realized that they needed to get help, and only then were they able to admit it to their spouses.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking about it because I said, you know, if one of the parties had a gay encounter, I actually had the opposite situation, which was a gay couple where one of them had had a very long-term heterosexual relationship that they hadn't revealed to their husband. And that just caused a rift down the road. I think it was more, though, it wasn't over the issue of the relationship. It was the issue of not sharing it. Of their, you know, as a felt like a betrayal of trust to the party. So, you know, I wasn't meaning to intimate one way or the other that that's a problem. I think it's the not having something in your past that you don't feel you can share with your spouse or your intended spouse. And to, I completely understand what you're saying, Rebecca. But I can see and have seen those situations where when it's not, when it comes up during the marriage, that it feels like a breach of trust that it wasn't shared. Like, yeah, you don't trust me to tell me.
Well, and especially if you're in a heterosexual relationship or a gay relationship, and the previous encounter or relationship was the opposite. You know, let's say you think you're in a gay relationship and they had the heterosexual relationship. I think it's more the fear from the spouse that, are you not actually gay? Are you not actually straight? You know, like, do I need to worry about you having, wanting the other again? I think there's that concern sometimes with people.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think it goes down to there's a balance between, as you said, there are some things that are very painful to reveal, and flipping that over to marriage, if you can't reveal it within the marital relationship, where can you reveal it? You know, if that's not the level of your relationship, I'm not saying, you know, every relationship has to be the same, but that is supposed to be the relationship of safety and not unconditional love. We all have probably some conditions to our love, but that might be a place where these decades old secrets, whatever they might be.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about it. It just came back to me. I had a case where a client had had a child and had given that child up for adoption because she was quite young when the baby was born, and then did not have contact with the child, but the child came back. Found her later in life, and it caused quite a problem in her marriage because she had not told her husband about that happening. So, you know, there were reasons for that, and, you know, it goes very much to what you just said, that, you know, it was painful for her, but it did cause a serious problem.
Well, I was just going to say that I always tell my husband I love him unconditionally. I'm not staying unconditionally.
Yeah. Perfect. Actually, print that, put it on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a few more minutes to talk about a couple of others. Sex and money are the last couple.
Yeah.
Why are we not surprised, right?
Almost always comes down to sex and money when it comes to divorce.
Yeah. So sex, you know, I had a case one time where the wife was, you know, in a financial services type of position. The husband was in the medical field. You know, they were both in very highly respected professions. They were in their 50s, late 50s, even early 60s, maybe. They had been married for like 30 something years. And out of the blue, he decided that he wanted to have her pick up men, strange men, bring them back to the house. And he wanted to watch them have sex on a closed camera from a different room. And that's what would excite him or whatever. And she actually went along with it a couple of times, believe it or not. And I mean, to look at her and look to look at them, you would never have known. But, you know, she came to me because she was like, I definitely am not on board with this.
Yeah.
This is making me uncomfortable.
I had that with a couple who'd been married a number of years, and then the husband wanted to try swinging and join a swingers group that he had found out about in their community. And the wife did go along for a period of time, but was just not comfortable with it. And it was not something, I will say, you know, in that particular case, neither one of them felt punitive toward the other. She did not. She just felt that's not something I'm interested in. Clearly, it's where you're going, and I don't want to go there. So they chose to part ways, and they did it in a very amicable way and tried to be respectful of both of their positions in it. But it was something that, you know, I think to what we said earlier, something had changed in their relationship too. That was actually where I think she had the biggest difficulty is like, has this always been something that's been an issue and he's just never mentioned it? Or is this something that changed all along, you know, after a period of time? So I could see where, you know, something like that, or you do see, I mean, this one comes up all the time, is the porn addiction, you know, where somebody is spending a lot of time on their computer.
I had a case one time where the wife was very, very Catholic. And so she had saved her virginity for marriage. So they didn't have any sexual relations prior to marriage. She actually sent me medical proof from her doctor that her hymen was intact. I've never seen anybody else do that before. But
since the medieval times.
Yes, she actually sent me medical proof. But they get to their honeymoon. They're actually on a cruise, whatever. He says he's too tired. He had too much to drink, whatever. You know, the first week turns into the first couple months. They still never consummated the marriage. And then found out that he had a major porn addiction.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So, I will say that it does seem with that particular issue, I have never had a client come in and say, my wife has a porn addiction.
I have seen one woman who went to a sex addiction camp. She said she told me she had a porn addiction. Her husband never said that. But it is, I think, predominantly a male thing. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, the differences in sexual, you know, we're talking about maybe differences in sexual preference around what excites people, but there's also just the differences in sex drive, libido. Those things can change over time for...
Reference Todd Krieger episodes.
Yes. Sex, love, marriage, and divorce. It's complicated, and it sure is. Yeah. But then there's the finances, as you said, Rebecca. You know, there's definitely those situations where when there's it's not even always a negative change in the finances. Often that will bring about stress in a relationship. But I've had the opposite. I've had cases where the parties have done quite well suddenly, like their financial circumstances have changed for the better. And in some ways, that has exacerbated issues for them. I had a lottery case where, and I understand this to be a phenomena with lottery winners, they actually have a very high divorce rate.
I actually had a client who won the lottery twice.
I want to rub my elbow on them.
And he ended up getting divorced from his first wife and then also his second.
Well, I think the rate for divorce of people who win the lottery is literally like in the 80% or plus. It's other negative life consequences, difficulties with family members, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, things like that. So, you know, financial changes, differing financial styles, that's another one. I mean, the number one thing I would say I see when people are coming for a divorce, at least a big topic in almost every divorce, is one of them's a saver and one of them's a spender. And
oh, yeah, that's a big problem because the saver always gets penalized for that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to get divided in half.
Yep. So if it's been spent,
if it's been spent, it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, if it was spent on stuff, you can divide the stuff.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, but the money's gone. You're not going to get it back. So
this is true.
Yeah. And then there's just that.
There's so many things. So I would say abuse, addiction, adultery, the three A's that I say, you know, The three deadly sins of marriage are always, lurking in here. But anyway, ignorance is bliss.
Well, maybe.
But it doesn't always work. It doesn't work for the long term.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe the underlying message that is here is communication around all of these things is of the utmost importance. And if it's not going to work out for the two of you, maybe at least you can be like that couple I referenced. You know, they ended up going different paths because they had different interests, but they did handle it with respect to each other. And they mediated their divorce and right. have continued to go forward as parents. I just know because I've stayed in touch in a positive way. So
Breaking Free mediation is available right here.
Yeah, we have experience with those issues.
All right. Thanks all for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.